The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Well, my next guest is a specialist when it comes to women's hormones and is referred to as the medic who kickstarted the menopause revolution. A Sunday Times best-selling author and host of the UK's number one medical podcast, I'm joined by the author of The Power of Hormones, Dr. Louise Newson. Louise, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
Do you think at this stage, and we've had a number of years now where people are much more willing to talk about menopause and about women's hormones and the changes that happen when they change, that we have an awareness and understanding now that leaves us in a much better place when it comes to understanding our changing hormones?
Yes, I think yes and no. Yes, because there is more awareness, there's more knowledge. Women are understanding more how hormones can have an effect throughout every single organ in our bodies and the myriad of symptoms that can occur. And also women are understanding more about the safe, effective hormone treatments available. But what we're not moving forward to is easy access for treatments. The stories I hear every day are really sad of women struggling to be listened to, believed and understood.
So are you saying that people are still telling you that they are being refused prescriptions for HRT?
Yes, it happens a lot in your country. I hear it a lot. I'm doing this theatre tour every night. I'm hearing it from people. And we know that hormone replacement therapy is number one treatment for the majority of women. Yet, and all the guidelines agree that, but actually globally, only 5% of women are able to be prescribed it. And it's not because women don't want it. Some women might choose not to want it, but many, many women are just being told they can't have it because they're too young, they're too old, they're too whatever. And that doesn't actually make sense. And it contradicts the evidence that we have, because women who take hormones, their symptoms improve, but more importantly for me as a clinician, their future health improves as well. They have a lower incidence of diseases. And we have to realise this more and more because we're living longer as women. But sadly, most women are unhealthy in their last 10 years of life and on a myriad of medications for diseases such as heart disease, osteoporosis, diabetes, dementia, that can all be reduced if people take hormones.
And what is your understanding, given your experience and what you've been told over the years about this by women, what is your understanding of what is behind that dismissal of women?
Well, yeah, I think a lot of it is, sadly, women have been dismissed for years. We've been labelled as hysterical women and people don't believe the symptoms. But the other thing that I realise more and more is that people are very confused what hormone treatments are. And people often are scared about hormone treatments because the older types of hormone treatments in older types of HRT, but also in contraception hormones, are actually synthetic. They're chemicals. They are associated with small risks. Whereas the hormones now we prescribe are the same structure as our own hormones, progesterone, estradiol and testosterone. So they're not with risks. They're safe and effective. And so there's a misunderstanding by a lot of healthcare professionals, actually, the difference.
Can I talk to you about testosterone? Because it has been in the headlines a lot over the last year or so. Would you say it's the most misunderstood of hormones?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, even the name, you know, it's got testes. Like, women don't have testes. So a lot of people think that it's a male hormone, which it is, but it's also a female hormone. It's the most biologically active hormone that we have as women in our bodies, and it affects every single cell in our bodies. Yet so many people are told again that they can't have it. They think it's just for libido issues, but it works in every cell. We've known since the 1940s that it can help with well-being and mood. And we've got a lot of data since that time that show that mood, energy, concentration, stamina improve when people take testosterone. If it's given at the right dose to the right woman and the right time, then women often really improve their symptoms and the incidence of side effects is vanishingly low. So a lot of people seem scared that people's going to walk around with beards and all sorts, but we don't see it because we replace in a low dose those women who have low testosterone in their bodies with symptoms, and it can be transformational. Obviously, as clinicians, we make sure there's no other underlying cause of their symptoms, and then we give a trial of testosterone. And I know personally, if I wasn't taking it, I wouldn't be working as a medical doctor because my brain had gone. I couldn't remember anything. I had awful brain fog and fatigue and worsening migraines. And I see it a lot in the clinic, you know, when we've written up a lot of data, we've published data about it as well. But if you just, in the book, I've written a lot about how testosterone works in the brain and the body. It's a basic physiological hormone. So it's not like a drug. You know, a lot of drugs we prescribe are trying to help with symptoms. This is actually treating the underlying cause.
Now, you yourself have been through a lot lately. To explain to people, the British Menopause Society, who you were aligned with, they then said that they weren't aligned with you. Then the BBC Panorama programme said that your clinic was prescribing medication to a cancer patient without consulting their oncologist. Then the hospital regulator inspected your clinic and gave you an exceptional recommendation. So it all sort of fell away, all of these criticisms. How has that whole thing been for you?
It's been incredibly hard, actually. Really hard because, you know, I went into medicine to help as many people as possible. I'm evidence-based. I've got a science pathology degree as well. And I've got, you know, I'm quite clever. I've got distinction in all the exams that I've ever taken. And so for doctors to misreport me, really, in the BBC, when they've got no idea what I do day to day, they've never audited my practice, they've never spoken to me about what I do, is absolutely wrong. And the thing is, actually, it's not about me. It has been horrendous for me, and it always will be. But actually, the bigger picture is it's harming women, because we now see so many women in our clinic who have been stable in their hormones for many years. They felt really well, and now doctors are refusing to prescribe because they think suddenly hormones are dangerous for women. And there's this massive misunderstanding, and it's wrong, you know, because we know that so many people's future health is at risk because they're being refused evidence-based treatment in hormones. But I have written about some of my experiences in the book, and actually, I'm not the first female doctor to have been tried to be taken down by the establishment, and I doubt very much I'll be the last. But, you know, we should be going into medicine to work together. People can agree to disagree, but we actually fundamentally need to work at look at the science, look at the evidence, share with our patients the knowledge and uncertainty that we have, and move forwards. And actually, for my clinic, the Newson Clinic, to have outstanding in its CQC inspection is just amazing, because very few people get outstanding, especially private clinics.
Do you think that the damage has been repaired to your business? No. First of all, no.
No, not at all. You know, sadly, we've had to have lawyers involved. You know, it's taken a big hit on me psychologically. And, you know, at the time we had to sadly get rid of a lot of doctors because the clinic was, you know, we were going to lose it. And if we lose the clinic, I lose my podcast, I lose Balance App, all the work that I do for free. There's a huge amount of work I do for free, but someone has to pay the bills, and that comes from the clinic, sadly. So, because I don't work with pharmaceutical companies, I'm not sponsored in any way. But the bigger picture is, like I say, it's not about me and my business. It's about the damage to women. Medicine's got a big hierarchy where it's always the consultants in hospital think that they know more than GPs. And, you know, I challenge it. We've all got academic, clever brains, and we can all think differently in medicine. So it's become very political, and health of women always has been, sadly. It's a really sort of toxic environment. And I feel very strongly we should just be learning together. And we can agree to disagree, we can move on, people can choose who they go and see. But at the end of the day, we have to remember that the majority of women are not able to access hormones. And a lot of women I meet on the tour are really struggling with their mental health, especially when they're not having hormones and they're being medicalized with antidepressants, antipsychotics, painkillers. And, you know, I've written a lot about this in the book, because there's one thing not prescribing hormones, but there's another thing prescribing inappropriate medication that's not treating the underlying cause.
And that has happened for years and years, hasn't it? Like getting a quick diagnosis of depression and medication to treat that, when actually HRT would have probably fixed the problem.
Absolutely. And we need to know that there are risks of antidepressants, you know, there are risks of osteoporosis and bleeding and stroke and even dementia, whereas those risks are not there with hormone replacement therapy. And actually, taking hormones reduces the risk of osteoporosis and dementia. So we shouldn't be medicalizing women because of their symptoms, which that's what saddens me as well.
Mm-hmm. And just on the NHS guidelines, that HRT be prescribed no higher than 100 mcg
of estrogen. No, so that's not in any guidelines, actually. The guidelines are very clear that women should have the lowest effective dose. And so for some women, the lowest effective dose is more than the licensed maximum dose. Uh-huh. And the licensed maximum dose has been not actually set on any good quality data. And we've known for decades that some people need higher doses or different doses than others when we put a substance through the skin. A bit like if someone was having a nicotine patch. Some people have different doses because they absorb differently through the skin. And that's the same with estradiol as well. And since Panorama, we've published a peer review article about some of our data in the clinic, showing about 1 in 4 women who come to our clinic have low levels of estradiol in their body, despite being given the maximum dose.
People are nervous, though, aren't they, about the side effects or potential side effects of increasing
their
HRT dose?
There aren't any side effects of
dose.
Having the dose that people need. The risk is not having adequate amounts. As you probably know, estradiol is very anti-inflammatory in the body, so it reduces inflammation. But if our levels of estradiol are too low in the body, either because we're menopausal or we're putting on a patch or gel that's not being absorbed adequately into our bloodstream, then our inflammatory system worsens and there's more inflammation in the body. Mm-hmm. So there's harm if people are not on the right dose. Some of the confusion has been the risks of synthetic hormones. So if someone is on ethinyl estradiol, which is in all but one combined oral contraceptive pill, that dose is so much higher than any dose that we give as estradiol, but it's a synthetic hormone which is associated with risks. But I don't prescribe synthetic hormones, so the risks are not there that they are with all contraceptives and synthetic hormones that, like I say, were in old types of HRT.
It can be very contentious though, isn't it, when each woman, it seems, needs to match the dose to their particular profile.
But we do that all the time in medicine. If you meet people with underactive thyroid gland, they're often on different doses of thyroxine. People with diabetes, type 1 diabetes, they'll all be on different doses of insulin. Medicine is an art as a science. And what's wrong, actually, is if we individualize care. And about half of the women we see in our clinic are on HRT, but it's not the right dose or type. And so we do that a lot in medicine. To personalize medicine is really important, so people can be, you know, as healthy and as well as possible, because that's what everyone wants out of their patients. Mm-hmm.
No plans to come to Ireland with the theatre tour, Louise?
Oh, do you know what? I would love to. It's difficult because we're touring with a theatre tour, but I would love to come to Ireland. I came a few years ago and, you know, you're all so friendly. So I would come over at a heartbeat, even just to talk.
Well, listen, I think that
the more knowledge people have, the better.
Exactly. And there's a huge interest in this topic here. As you're well aware, I mean, you've said that people contact your clinic from here as well, but it has been a huge topic of conversation. And I know when we mention it on the show, so many people get in touch because they are hungry for information about perimenopause and menopause treatment.
Yeah, and also my work extends to PMS, premenstrual syndrome, PMDD, premenstrual dysphoric disorder, postnatal depression, PCOS, which is now PMOS. So all these are hormonal changes that are really affecting women. So, you know, we see a lot of women and learn a lot all the time from our clinical knowledge and experience.
Well, until we see you in Ireland, people can have a read of the book. It's called The Power of Hormones and it's out now by Dr. Louise Newson. Louise, thank you so much for talking to us.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
The Claire Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.